Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of freedom, peace, justice, health, wellness, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation, and a big thank you to all the vegan activists worldwide. I'm greatly honored that we are joined by Susan Joyce via Skype in Wales, UK. Susan Joyce is the founder and director of Little Green Pigeon Community Interest Company. A nonprofit and educational organization based in Wales. They educate and encourage people to love and care for pigeons, and of course, vegan advocacy. Let's start out with hearing this lovely song by Vegan Queen V in England, UK. Mother Nature's Conversations.
Who the hell am I? Why am I here? Born into something where they live in hate and fear. So disconnected from the place we call home.
We'll be hearing about Little Green Pigeon Community Interest Company and also the newly launched National Pigeon Advocacy Association, a worldwide initiative. Whose main aim is to educate people. Horror of pigeon racing and to get that blood sport banned.
Over me, I hear it.
Hi, Sue. Welcome to Vegan Nation, and thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Well, I am thrilled with your work. You're amazing. You're amazing, sister.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. I work hard, but it's all for the pigeons, so it's all worthwhile.
Yes. And I also have to commend you and thank you very much that I noticed that in all of your activism, in your interviews, that you are always consistent with promoting veganism as well as the respect for the pigeons.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've got to do both, haven't we? So, yeah, it's really important. We can definitely talk about the both when we're talking about pigeons, for sure.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Susan.
Pigeon racing is absolutely horrendous. It's a blood sport that's very, very well hidden, both in the UK and in the States and all over the world, actually. And people breed pigeons. They generally look after them when they're in their flocks. They keep them in sheds and then they wait until they fall in love, basically. A male and a female pigeon will fall in love. They'll mate, they'll have eggs. And then when they are having eggs or having babies, what the racing people will do is take one of those birds away and drive them in a truck hundreds of miles away from where their home is, because they know that when they release them from that truck, they will fly home. And people bet, they place bets on the bird. It's gambling as to which bird will get home the fastest. And the bird that does get home the fastest, they generally get a cash prize as well. And for that little bird, it's a race of death, basically. There's no food, there's no water, there's nowhere to rest. And they generally race young birds, and they will never have left their flock before. So they won't know where they are. And all they can think about is getting home to their partner. It's absolutely horrendous. So it's definitely a blood sport, because a lot of the pigeons, about 60% of the birds in most races, die in the race. And the rest that don't die end up on our towns and city streets looking for food. And that's why they come up to people asking for help. They're domestic birds, they're not wild birds. So they're asking for help because there's no natural food for them. And that's why there's so many about.
That's just so horrible to exploit them.
Absolutely. Exploitation in its finest form, if you like, because you're exploiting them physically, but you're exploiting them mentally as well. And I think, unlike horse racing and racing with dogs and other animals, people see a flock of pigeons flying over and they think, oh, how lovely, aren't they having a great time? And they're actually having a horrendous time. So it's terrifying for them. It's really, really cruel. If they don't make it back fast enough as well, or they get the pigeon gets down, so they end up on the street and somebody finds them, they have little rings on so you can phone the owner, they'll generally say, oh, you can keep the pigeon because she's no good to me now, or they'll ask you to kill them. It's horrendous. It's such exploitation, and it's so wasteful of resources as well. You know, even if we look past the animal rights issues, it's so wasteful that we breed 12,000 birds in a month just to release them to see if they can fly home or not.
So some of the races are over land and some of them, they bring them over the ocean?
Very much. So even if I can just take ones close to home here in the UK, for example, birds will be let from France. They'll be let go from, say, Ireland, and they fly over the Irish Channel, which is between Ireland and our mainland Britain. That's, 100 or so miles. They're not seafaring birds, so the birds will fly, they'll get exhausted, and they'll often come down in the sea and die. And we've actually personally been involved with rescues, just because I'm just on the coast here, where people have found them, they've scooped them up and put them in a boat, or they've landed on a freighter, you know, on a big ship, and then they've sort of got in touch and said, we need to get this pigeon out to you because they're just hanging around on the boat and they won't leave. And it's because they're just exhausted, so they land on the ships.
And can you please explain again about the raising and why the pigeons are so inclined to keep flying for miles back to their home?
It's really sad, actually. I hope you've got a chair and a cup of tea. It's really sad. You need to sit down for this one. Pigeons, they mate for life. And people always stop me and say, oh, not always. I've had a pigeon that's had lots of partners. Well, yes, sometimes they will go and find another partner occasionally. But as a general rule, as a species, pigeons will mate for life. So a pigeon racer will breed lots of different birds. He'll keep the cocks and the hens separate, and then he will allow them to get to know each other, and they will start building nests. The male bird goes off and finds the place they want to nest. The female bird will come and see if it's all right. She'll go in there. There's very much a courting ritual. They kiss, they groom each other. They're really, you know, really, really in love. And then they will have an egg. They have two eggs per clutch. Once they're doing that, the two adult pigeons are able to feed the babies. So it's very much a partnership of bringing up babies. So they very, very much are in love. And that is why that when one of them's taken away, they will do everything they can to fight to come home, because that's all they'll ever know. It's called widowhood. That's what they call it. And there's a reason they call it widowhood. And that's because generally the pigeons don't make their way home again. So then that hen or that cock that's still sat on the eggs or is still left to feed the babies that they're bringing up, it becomes alone. And then the process happens again. They'll just reintroduce them to another hen or another cock, wait for them to fall in love, and on it goes. It's horrendous.
We're listening to Susan Joyce, founder and director of Little Green Pigeon Community Interest Company, based in Wales, UK. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Susan Joyce. Much thanks to our listeners for tuning in.
If you only had one life, would it make you glad? Would it make you mad? Would it make you sad? Counting down time. 'Cause if there's only one chance to do the best and be the best we can, if there's only one shot, are you giving all you got? When we murder, when we oppress, when we keep them in pain and distress, pray forgiveness to something out there. If there's only one life, have a little more respect for theirs. Did your mama say how special you are? But they don't look the same, so it's okay to take a child away, tear them apart. But it's all in your mind. If you'd only look, you would see her cry. She's screaming out for him, but the bullet always wins. When we murder, when we oppress, when we keep them in.
We're listening to Vegan Queen V in England, UK. This is her song, Only One Life. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. We're continuing our conversation with Susan Joyce, founder and director of Little Green Pigeon Community Interest Company.
So they like perching in caves. That's where they originally lived. So it's very natural for them to want to get into the cracks and crevices in buildings where there is, you know, they're away from the rain and they're away from the wind, but there's no food for them. So what they do is they will look to where the people are. So they'll always come to where people are eating. So the fast food restaurants and the pastries, and they'll be looking on the floor and eating that kind of food. But of course, that's not the food that they should be eating. They're granivores. They need to eat grain. They eat some vegetables. So they'll eat broccoli, they'll eat bits of carrot, and they'll eat peas. But generally speaking, they eat grains and beans, and there isn't any of that naturally for them.
Thank you, Sue, for all your efforts to have pigeon racing banned.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We've got to do it. We've got to keep fighting. I think it's most important to me because it's one of the only sort of blood sports that people just don't know about. So we've got to break through that. We've got to let vegans know and then let everybody else know. So yeah, it's my life's mission. I didn't know for many, many years, and I'd been vegan for a long time before I learned about pigeons, and I was horrified. And that's why I just thought, right, someone's got to stand up for these little guys. So it's going to be me.
Yes.
There's a lot of people in the UK and in America, thousands and thousands of people that are now looking after these birds, that are rehabilitating them, that are looking after orphaned birds, and that are speaking out on this. There are hundreds and thousands of people doing that, and lots that I'm now in touch with as well. And one of the things that we're doing here is setting up a network in the UK of people that look after these birds, making sure that we can help to fund their efforts, and also making sure that they are going out and passing this message on and talking to people as well. So there's a lot of work to do, but now, which is wonderful, there is a lot of people that are helping me. So that's fantastic.
Yes, that's great. Pigeons. It was very interesting that I learned from you about their cave dwellers in rock lovers, because I love caves and rocks too.
That's brilliant. Maybe you were a pigeon in a past life.
Yes.
Maybe we're both, but I love peas. So people always say I was a pigeon in a past life, and that's why I've got this affinity for them. Maybe we're both pigeons. They're lovely. So we're going back thousands of years now, when they were first bred, and they think that they became a mixture of from a jungle fowl and a rock dove. That's where pigeons came from. And actually, in our Outer Hebrides, in the top of Scotland here in this country, there are still some wild pigeons that look very much like the original rock doves. But when they DNA tested them a couple of years ago, they found that actually even there, and our Outer Hebrides are in the, you know, they're in the middle of nowhere, like people struggle to get onto those islands, but even the DNA, those birds, you can see the reach that human breeding of pigeons has gone, because some of them, they couldn't find a single rock dove that had original DNA. All of them had got domestic pigeon DNA in them as well. So, but originally found thousands of years ago, they came from, as I say, rock doves and jungle birds, and they were actually bred originally for meat and eggs. But then, as we do, we find something bigger and worse. So we decided that chickens were better. They were easier to breed, and you could kill them sort of younger. So we moved to chicken as a societies, but they carried on being used for messaging. So if you imagine the way that we use them for races, that's how they were used. Certainly during the world wars as well, they were used for sending messages backwards and forwards. And they were used a lot in history, and they did it in the same way. They let them breed, they took one bird away, and then they knew that if they wanted to send a message, they could send it back with that bird.
And I'm also impressed that you had a sanctuary caring for 300 plus birds. Wow. And you
did.
All sorts of trials and tribulations, and yet here you are, strong Sue, kept carrying on.
Oh, bless you, thank you. Yeah, it's been a really tough but brilliant journey the last 15 years. I started off looking after wild garden birds, and then the lady that was working with me to look after pigeons, she couldn't do that anymore, so I took over looking after the pigeons. And once I realized how much care they needed and how different they are to wild birds, and how not many people were looking after them at the time, I just said, right, look, other people are looking after garden birds, I just need to focus on pigeons, which is why I ended up with just a pigeon sanctuary. And yeah, we went through some tribulations. That's true. We lost our land, the original land, after lots and lots of years. The person who owned the land sold it, and we couldn't afford to buy it. So we moved to a different country where we were gifted some land, which was amazing. We were just settling in there. And unfortunately, a mutual friend of ours, Jen Armstrong, Vegan Queen V, she was out visiting at the time. Thank goodness. Otherwise, I would have been completely on my own. Up this mountain, on this ledge where we were living in a caravan, and all the pigeons were in the aviaries, we had a freak storm. It wasn't forecasted, and it ripped through, it damaged, it took the caravan, it took the aviaries, it threw everything about. It was horrendous. There was an awful lot of damage, thousands of pounds worth of damage. And most worryingly, most importantly, we had some deaths, pigeon deaths in that storm as well, which was horrendous. So then it became clear that we couldn't stay there. There was nowhere that we could shelter the birds more effectively. So we had to move again to another piece of land, which was perfect. And it was an orchard. And the gentleman who owned the land said that we could stay on the land. He wanted to help us. We would help him look after his orchard. It was absolutely great. We were still living in a caravan because we were homeless. then the local council came and said that because we had birds on there that weren't for eating, we couldn't keep them on that land because it was agricultural land, which is just ridiculous. So I made a decision last year to close my sanctuary after 15 years. And the birds were all rehomed to other sanctuaries, and we now pay for them sanctuaries. So it's really hard, and it was very emotionally draining and very tough at the time, like physically and emotionally. But what I will say is the place it's brought me to now, I feel like it's where I need to be. It's brought me to a place where I can work with all of those sanctuaries who are now looking after those birds, all vegan, of course. But it's also meant that I now have time freed up, and with my experience over the last 15 years and my passion and fight, I can now fight to get pigeon racing banned. I'm working on getting a network of people all over the UK and in America to look after these birds for us. And I'm working with quite a few American associations that look after pigeons as well, like Palomacy and Moosey's Flock and quite a lot of them. And we've just set up the National Pigeon Advocacy Association as well here in the UK. And we've already got members from all over the world. I've been really surprised. We only started that 2 weeks ago, and I've already got people signing up from all over the world, not just from the UK. So people really want to help these birds, and they want to know more about them. So I feel very privileged that although all those horrible things happened, the majority of the birds in our care, so the 300 or 400 of them that we had at the time, are all fine. They're all living their best lives in different sanctuaries. And what it's done is given me some very valuable lessons in life and in business, and taught me what I need to do next. So it's been hard, but it's brought me to the right place.
Thank you, Sue. And to also all the other sanctuary owners and managers and the volunteers, again, it just brings me such joy and faith knowing how all of you keep going on and succeeding in spite of the challenges that we all face in this carnist non-vegan paradigm. Like when I think about the billions and even trillions of dollars that goes into animal exploitation and violence via animal agriculture and subsidies to those institutions, or all the money, the massive money going into the research, development, production, and distribution of pharmaceuticals and all the other horrendous animal research and testing that's being done, and on and on. And yet I keep the faith that in a vegan paradigm, all that money's going to be available for sanctuaries.
And, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But in the meantime, go ahead.
And you know, you're fighting the fight as well with your radio and with your program. And this is exactly what we all need to do, is just put all that energy and all that anger and all that upset into ourselves and let it burn the fire that we need to just keep on going, because it can be really hard, you know. As you know, for vegans, it can be a really lonely, is maybe the wrong word if you've got a good community of vegans around you. But even so, as you say, in this carnist world, it can be really difficult to keep going, and we just need to keep fighting and remember that one day we will make a difference, and we're already making such a difference for so many animals. So thank you so much for everything you do, because you know, this is incredible, letting people know what we need to do. It's the most important thing. Education is so important.
Yes. And also thank you to your son. I'd love to hear about your story of going vegan.
He's fabulous. Well, so like many people, I went vegetarian when I was a child, when I was 8, much to the disgust of my parents, who are still meat eaters and they don't really understand it. But yeah, I went vegetarian after seeing a demonstration about animal testing. And I sort of looked into it and thought, well, yes, we shouldn't be using anything that's tested on animals, but actually, why should we be eating them? And like so many people, it was misguided in a way, and that I felt like I was doing enough. You know, I know this is the story for so many people. And then when my son was about 9 years old, it was around about then, he came home from school one day, obviously always been vegetarian all his life, brought up vegetarian, and he just said, we're not doing enough. We're just not doing enough. And I distinctly remember saying, we don't need to be vegan. They're ridiculous people. What are you going on about? And he showed me a video of the dairy industry. And within an hour, we'd emptied our fridge and our freezer, our whole cupboards, everything that was non-vegan. And we were vegan from that day forward. And that was a long time ago now. and like many, many vegans that I've spoken to over the years, I just wish I'd done it sooner. I wish somebody had opened my eyes years and years and years before. But what's beautiful now is he's now in his mid-20s. A lot of the cohort at his university are vegan. He's making people vegan.
And I'd love to hear more about your little green pigeon shop and
oh, I love
your helpers, including Matt and Gretchen.
Oh, I mean, Gretchen and Matt, we've got so many people that have got on board since I've moved to Wales. This area of Wales is really rural, and there are a lot of dairy, meat, sheep farms. There's a lot of it around here. I moved out here purely because we needed the land and there wasn't any in England. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be so hard. I'm going to be surrounded by all this murder and this horror, and I'm not going to find any vegans. And actually, I've moved out here, and what I found is a community of incredible vegans. There are loads of us out here, and it's wonderful. So this area is Pembrokeshire that we're in. So we opened a little shop out here, didn't know what it would do. And actually what's happened is it's grown into a much bigger shop now, is it gives me a place to talk about veganism. So people come in, think it's a gift shop. There is a vegan sign on the door, but a lot of people don't notice that. They come in, they go, oh, pigeons, this is great. And they ask what it's all about, and they buy merchandise, just the same as they do on the website. But then it's a place where I can have very gentle conversations about veganism, and it's working. And we've now got, I think it's five people that I met 2 years ago when I came out here that weren't vegan that are now vegan because of coming into the shop.
Thank you. And your contact info.
Rightio. So you can find us on Instagram, on TikTok, and on Facebook. You can find us at Little Green Pigeon. And you can also find us on the website littlegreenpigeon.co.uk. But we now also have another website, which is, it's a bit of a mouthful. It's the National Pigeon Advocacy Association. And that is some work that we've set up to help pigeons all over the world. So that's the National Pigeon Advocacy Association.
Susan Joyce. Thank you, Susan Joyce. You are totally awesome.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
And thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. Just wanna fly. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. Much thanks to Susan Joyce and all the other vegan activists worldwide, including Vegan Queen V. Oh, bye, 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 bye. I just wanna live. I wanna see the world. I wanna see your face. Want this world to be a lovely place. And much thanks to Major Arcana. We're listening to their song. This is a vegan couple in Spain. We're listening to their song, I Just Wanna Fly. This is Marlene wishing you a peaceful, lovely day.
Baby, my freedom is the sky. I just wanna live. Oh, baby, 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 baby. Got so much to give.
Let's go out with the song by Vegan Queen V, The Power. Much thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation, and thank you to all the vegan musicians. Also.